What's going on, everyone? I am Jack Allen coming at you from with another episode, Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. Follow me on Twitter at Conspiracy or JAC, Gab, YouTube, soon to be Odyssey. I'm all on all those platforms if you want to check it out. If you want to support the show, Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence.com. So today I have an awesome young guest that blew me away. He's 21. I say it in the intro when I in the YouTube, but his name's Drew Hancock, and I have his Twitter on the show notes and the links. But Drew, he's a liberty guy on Liberty Twitter, which, you know, it's so fun. You have these different communities on Twitter, and you know, we're like probably most of my listeners are in the conspiracy part that crosses over with Liberty Twitter. But I told him I used to be a libertarian guy, and then first I was like Trump, then I was libertarian, and now I'm more, it's like a monarchist, whatever you want to call that. And we talk about that. So it's an awesome show. He kind of talks about anarcho-capitalism and what that means to him and how that would work. And I kind of talk about my belief that without morality, and there's a lot more crossover than I thought. So it's a great episode. We're not like debating or anything, but super nice guy, really well informed, and I really enjoyed having him on. I think it's like we create like enemies out of people that view differently than we do. And you know, he opened my eyes to a lot of things that I think were positive about his set of beliefs for our hypothetical future that is possible once the government collapses. So it's a great show. Check out Drew. He's on YouTube and Odyssey and Twitter, and I'll link his Twitter handle in the show notes and in the title. But that's it, guys. So I got a show coming up, actually, I think tomorrow, with an awesome guy who wrote a book on the Seminole Indians starting their own breakaway like culture and community in Florida. And so a lot of exciting stuff. Working on my Alan Dulles book. Oh my gosh, dude, Alan Dulles was the biggest POS in the world. And it adds more facts to how that the United States government's sole reason for wars and overthrowing governments was to remove nationalistic regimes, because you can't have corporations come and steal all of your natural resources until you have a bribed and corrupted government. So guys, check out Drew. Thanks for listening. I'm Jack Allen from Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence, and we'll talk soon. Thanks so much. Peace. All right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. So today I have a Liberty Twitter superstar, Drew Hancock. Drew, thanks for being on the show, dude.
Yeah, I don't know about superstar, but I am a proud Lulbert.
How about rising star? How about rising star? There we go. All right.
I'm content with that.
So first question is, how would they build the roads? Just joking.
They wouldn't. I'm a libertarian specifically because
I was planning that joke and I wanted it to land better, but tell everyone, I guess, like what your beliefs are, because obviously I think a lot of people gravitate towards like the liberty side of things, and yeah.
Yeah. So I use the term libertarian to be more specific. I am an anarcho-capitalist. So like I take it to the extreme. I don't think the government should exist at all. I still believe in private property rights. On the spectrum, so libertarianism, people say like it's not left or right, and I don't really agree with that per se. I think that there are left-wing libertarians and right-wing libertarians. I consider myself to be more right-wing. So I believe that, you know, without government, things do result in hierarchy, and I do believe more in traditional values and things like that. I think that's basically it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's like the common thing people say was like, if a 13-year-old girl wants to sell herself on, you know, in a like a libertarian world, you know, how would that be okay, right? I feel like that's the like one of those like who built the roads type questions, right?
Yeah, those are the two questions that I would say most get levied at people, which like the age of consent stuff, that gets thrown at everyone. Yeah. Like I would say, so like if you disagree with someone, people are going to say, oh well, you're a pedophile, just because that's what people go to. But I feel like libertarians get that more than most people because of kind of our beliefs.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, we can talk about stuff like that, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I would, yeah. Tell me, so again, what would be like your response to something like that in, yeah, in your perfect world?
So it's not a perfect world. So like, even if we abolish nice. The government, I will just say it's never going to be perfect. Like, absolutely. I'm not sitting here and saying like, oh yeah, I know the answer is to all the world's problems. So age of consent specifically is something that should be kept like as local as possible. So you look at it and you say like a 5-year-old and a 30-year-old, I think everyone pretty much agrees, I would hope so, that yeah, that's completely wrong. You get to a 10-year-old and a 25-year-old, again, like everyone's going to think that's wrong. You get to a 15-year-old and a 20-year-old, I think most people are going to say that's wrong, less amount. A 19-year-old and a 15-year-old, I think that's kind of the line. I think most people would still say that's not fine, but you may have more people, and then 18 and 15. So stuff like this, it's something where it should be kept local as possible. Like if you're a kid's parents, you know your kid better than they do. There are some like 18-year-olds that I met that are still fucking stupid and like basically, sorry, can I use bad words?
Yeah, here? Absolutely, okay. Dude. Yeah, absolutely.
So like I've met 18-year-olds who are so stupid and like they're basically still children. And then at the same time, I've met 18-year-olds who are fully functional adults. And there are arguments about that, about when do people become adults? Cause I don't think that there is like a set age, like, oh, you're not an adult at 17 and then you turn 18 and then magically you're an adult. I think that there is kind of a argument to be made there for autonomy and things like that. But yeah, as far as a 13-year-old with, you know, whatever, personally, I don't think that a 13-year-old can consent. So I'm not one of those people. I think that it is kind of morally abhorrent. And I don't think that would be something that would just be accepted. So there is this view of libertarians that is also promoted by some libertarians, which is part of the problem, that we're all just, you know, live and let live. Well, they're just two people. They just want to do whatever. Who are you? That's not my opinion at all. Part of free association and freedom is me being able to say like, no, that's fucking ridiculous. Ostracism, like, yeah, if I find out that my neighbor's next door is a 13-year-old dating a 20-year-old, I'm probably not going to talk to those people. Like, probably going to want nothing to do with that. Or if they're like parents who allow that to happen. But yeah, did that?
Yeah, answer? Absolutely. So I also saw you, like, I watched clips of, you were like, I don't know, you were with that debate with his name, Clint, I think, right? Yeah, and Clint, like the and business. Ace. Yeah. And I like follow, you know, Twitter, it's so much fun, but I was following like that. And that was like a real interesting, you know, it was like one sticking to the core libertarian beliefs and the other in a more like, kind of, in my opinion, like drifting away. So where did you fall on that view? So for people listening, it was the debate, should government, you know, mandating vaccines and private businesses staying agreeing with that, right? You can explain better.
Yeah. So DeSantis, he passed this thing. So he said that, hey, you're not, no government, like the federal government, if they pass a law saying that businesses have to ask for proof of vaccination, we're not going to honor that. We're not going to do that ourselves. And that I am completely on board with. Mm-hmm. I have no problem using like state power in that way to curb other state power. But then the other part of that was that he was going to start fining businesses who did ask for proof of vaccination. And that is where I have the problem. So I think that businesses should be allowed to do on their property, of course. I don't think that they should be allowed to go around shooting people for no reason. But on their property, especially with discrimination, I think that businesses should be allowed to discriminate on whatever basis they want, whether it's they don't want to serve someone who's Black, whether they don't want to serve someone because they're ugly, whatever reason they want. Proof of vaccination is no different than that. And if you look at a state like Florida, even consequentially, if there were any businesses asking for proof of vaccination, I think they would all go out of business pretty much. Like, I don't think it would have been a problem. Yeah, so that's all it is. I'm opposed to the vaccination mandates because I think that businesses should be allowed to make that decision for themselves, and that goes right. Either direction.
Yeah, so it's like such a tough, because like with the government mandating and them agreeing with it, it puts you like in that weird area of like, is it their choice or not their choice? But it was real interesting. Like, it really made me think, like, it's just like you said, there's no perfect system, but it's just hard to, it's like, if you're going by the book or now you're making concessions and certain rules, I don't know. It was a real interesting, If you had to like pick one, so I mean, I usually associate like the beginning of America as a pretty libertarian time. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, like with the Declaration of Independence and stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So do you think that's probably the most successful country that has lived by that kind of private personal rights? Do you think that's like the most successful time?
Probably people also use, and these are examples that I haven't read about, so I can't really speak on them, but people also reference medieval Iceland and Ireland, which, you know, those are
Oh, I
historic
have no idea.
examples.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say people say that. I don't know anything about them, so there are other people to ask about that. People also reference the Wild West, and that is something that I have listened to lectures about. That's still not something that I have read about, so I'm not really qualified to speak about it. But yeah, America, specifically its founding, I would say is probably the most libertarian society ever.
Because my like thing, like I said, I was like more really like libertarian. I even have a libertarian flag. And as I as I it's I told as you list toddler, we talked about morality. It seemed like back then it might have been easier because everyone was a Christian. And even if the founding fathers weren't Christians, they were whatever they were called.
Yeah, I think they were like
Yes.
deists.
Yeah,
Yeah.
right. And but it seemed like that's why it like there's so many insane people in the world. And that's why, like, as I would do this example, like the shopping cart, you know, like there's people put the shopping carts away. Like, that's why libertarian in my mind would, because people are assholes, you know, like without a like overwatch of some morality or rules, it feels like it would fall into chaos. What would you like say to like that kind of response?
Yeah, so I completely agree. I am completely anti-democracy. I am completely against the average person having any say over anything.
I
Like I said,
agree.
I'm
I
a right-wing
agree.
person.
Yeah.
Where my issue is and why I'd rather have no government is because whenever you create a government where people elect representatives or whatever else, you're basically creating a system where other people who are stupid and don't know anything about me then have a claim to make rules about how I should live. And that's why I am anti-government. And there is like a libertarian argument that comes from Hans Hermann Hoppe about how monarchy would be superior to democracy for
Nice.
other reasons than that. But yeah, I'm completely against.
I don't know.
I don't like democracy.
I agree with you 100%. It's fun. Who said that? What was his name that said the
Hans
monarch?
Hermann Hoppe.
I'll
He's
have
a
to look him
German
up.
guy.
Because there's this book I read. I can't tell the full. It's like called Freemasons Behind the Revolution and another group, but I'm not going to say it on a podcast. But basically, though, it goes through how all the revolutions in Europe and in the West and in, you know, our revolution, we're all done by Freemasons, which is like true. You know, our founding fathers were all Freemasons. And they did this, like the French Revolution, Thomas Paine was there, and all these people were doing it because they needed to remove the monarchy and the church, which gave the best representation of the populace. And I thought that was like a really interesting, that's why I never heard that before until, so I'll have to look up that guy. But that like got me thinking, like they, you know, these groups, these secrets, they've never done anything for our benefit ever. So like if they were always, and they would openly admit like we over, you know, we were behind the Bolshevik Revolution and all these revolutions, why? And that's like almost what started me thinking, like, you know, I that liber that the liberty, though it is amazing, is like not, it's something that they can just then take away or something. I don't know the best poetic way to say that.
Yeah, I mean, there is an argument that I do sympathize with that had the Tsar taken out the Bolsheviks before the Bolshevik Revolution happened, we wouldn't have had communism, and that's something that I
I
do
agree.
sympathize with and understand.
Yeah.
But
There's,
yeah, the
yeah.
Freemason stuff, I don't really know anything about
Yeah.
all of that.
It was just an interesting viewpoint. That's like, you know, it just got me like thinking, like, is there more to this than to like, you know, people, and we do it to people too, like the, oh, you're not really free. You're not free. So now we're going to take it. That's why we're taking out your government, because you're not really free. You know, you have a dictator or whatever. But
Yeah. So what type of libertarian were you? Were you like an ANCAP or just like a Gary Johnson libertarian or
yeah.
like?
So I liked, I learned about, I had a, do you know who, I know, you know, I'm sure you know Sal the Agorist. I had him on, and then I had Joshua from Our Foundations. Do you know Josh?
I do not.
He's a really smart guy, but he's an agorist as well. And I love that idea, like trading and doing, you know, being the best self-sustaining person you can be. But beyond that, I just hate the government and police. So I just fell into that group. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you ask that?
I'm just curious. Oh, so okay. With the agorism, I like counter economics, like black market activity and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's really useful as a, I don't think you're going to take out the state through agorism. So I guess that's where I disagree with the agorist. Mm. But yeah. So what's your ideal government now? So you're not a libertarian, but.
Dude, I'm going to get hammered for, I think that if you had a nationalistic, and I use this word, it's such a fascism, a nationalistic moral, like with the church, like a monarchy with a divine king and a powerful church, that would be that would look after its own people. I would even stop like conspiracies. I would stop all of it. I would just do what I was told. If I knew it was creating a land that was going to be better to my children, you know, like I would give up, but I know that's not the direction we're going. Like, I don't know what you call what we have today, but yeah. What do you think about that? Do you think do you see some positives from that kind of government or?
So the thing with that, so as an ANCAP, and I think this is something that a lot of people don't get, whenever you have private property rights, you can run whatever your private property is, however you want. Mm-hmm. So hypothetically, there could be a communist society in anarcho-capitalism, just people buy up a whole bunch of land, they start on a commune there. So something like that, like if you wanted to buy up a bunch of land and have something like that, I would totally support it. My only thing with states, and I think what differentiates just that from a government, is claiming land that I don't, well, this kind of gets into autistic libertarian territory.
I love it.
But it's basically claiming land that you don't own. So like the government now, they claim all of this land that they've never used. It's just in the middle of nowhere. They have no right to it. And they're still going to enforce rules on there. But yeah, if it's, you know, you guys buying up a bunch of land and just starting your own society, then I think that's totally fine. I have no problem. Like that is my worldview. I think that people should be able to live however they want. For me, that would be unbridled capitalism. For other people, you know, that would be socialism. And I think that wouldn't work out very well. And I think eventually they would, you know, come over to everyone else.
Yeah.
But knock yourselves out. Like, whatever. I don't care.
How do you answer? So the capital, like, I now feel like capitalism is just the other wing of the same bird of communism. Like, as just like how we talked about the Bolshevik Revolution, how the Rockefellers and the Harrimans, they funded the Bolshevik Revolution, they funded Hitler. And so what, like, do you think that that's you think that's totally off? Or, because that's my fear is like, or not fear, but my complaint with a total anarcho-capitalist society is that these people, they need us on the spectrum because wherever they are, they're the people at the top are going to control it. You know, so they need a boogeyman for us, the US. So they say it's communism, but really they control both ends of it. They control the capitalistic side. They were keeping the Bolsheviks alive with donations because they were broke. And so that's why I feel like that it's like a scam that we've been lied to, that capitalism isn't the winner. It's they control that system. They also control communism. That's why they propped it up. What would you like? I don't know if I'm asking like a good question, but no, do you understand what I'm saying?
I think so. So yeah, it's one of these things where libertarians kind of get caught because we'll defend capitalism and we'll be like, oh, look at all the wealth that the US has. And then in the next hand, we'll talk about how awful it is and how it shouldn't exist at all. So people kind of call us on that. And so basically, yeah, what we have in the United States today is corrupted capitalism. It's not my ideal. It's corporations in bed with the government. I completely agree with that. On a consequentialist ground, like it still leads to insane amount of wealth. Like we are in the wealthiest society ever, but there are problems that go along with that. You have weapons companies in bed with the government. I talked in one of my videos about war, about how I think it was Rockefeller who helped fund World War I. He was like funding all sides in that.
Yeah.
Well, the British, and that's why the United States entered in on their side. So I think whenever you look at it, you see, well, capitalism brings about all this innovation. Capitalism is why we are as wealthy as we are now. And then they get involved with the government and everything, it's fucked up. Yeah. And it's kind of like the opposite of what liberals say. So liberals say, well, corporations are in bed with the government, so that's why we need to expand the government So, which doesn't make any sense because if corporations are controlling the government and corporate, so my thing is, well, corporations are controlling the government. Let's get rid of the government. And then there's not this power structure for them to exert unfair advantages on other people. So like you look at things like regulatory capture, it's all corporations trying to give themselves unfair advantages in the market.
I was going to ask you another, so continue your thought.
No, and I mean, even with the corrupted system we have today, we still have enough of a market where there is competition. So you see big companies go under, not all the time, but it is completely possible. So like these big tech companies right now that have a monopoly, I think 10, 15 years from now, you are going to see sites like Locals, Odyssey, which is actually, I don't know if you know this, actually where I work.
You work at Odyssey? I work at Odyssey. Well, thank you for, I'm waiting till I hit 300 subscribers till I,
talk to me after that.
All right, sounds good.
So you see these other companies come up and eventually they're not going to have Twitter, Facebook, all these sites aren't going to have a monopoly. And I mean, you look at Amazon, look at who they took out. Walmart was like this big devil that everyone demonized forever. Amazon came along and they took of Walmart's market share. Now Jeff Bezos is the richest guy in the world. And now Amazon is the evil corporation, because once you get to the top, then you start doing the lobbying and all of this stuff.
Right.
But eventually someone will take them out too. So what was your...
My question was, how would that... So what would happen in an anarcho-capitalist society where now you have no regulations and, you know, you're not, it's hard to think back if we all started from zero, but say we change like tomorrow. I mean, Amazon has so much wealth, so much power. Couldn't they just enslave us all, buy us, buy everything? You'd be living in an Amazon pod, renting a toothbrush.
I mean, so do you know Michael Malice?
Yeah, I've seen his book. I haven't read it though yet.
Which book?
Didn't he release a new one just recently?
Yeah, he released the Anarchist Handbook, which is just like a compilation of other people's stuff. I highly recommend his book called The New Right.
Okay.
So if anyone watching this wants to buy that, yeah, that's a good one. So basically, say Amazon, like they bought up everything in the United States, and now all of a sudden Amazon is our ruler. That's basically the same thing we have now. So I think it would be a wash.
True. Yeah.
But I don't think that is possible. So you look at the United States, you look at how they're $30 trillion in debt. It's completely unsustainable outside of government. These things cost money for private companies to do. I don't think that a private company, I don't know how much Amazon is valued with. They don't have enough money, enough resources to take over an entire country or the entire world, no matter how much they have. And you see a lot of their wealth comes from being propped up by the government, at least the size that they are today. So there's that. And whenever you have a freer market, things tend to decentralize. So there may be like a big concentration especially when you take out things like patents. So whenever someone first comes out with something, there may be like, they have this monopoly on it. Pretty soon everyone else figures out they lose most of their power. Whenever Amazon, all of their wealth comes from people enjoying their products and services. If they all of a sudden started invading places in the world, I think that they would lose a lot of that. And there's not really anything from stopping them doing that now. Like Amazon, I don't see why they couldn't go to Africa in like a very small country and just like invade with their own Amazon military force. I don't think that you need to abolish the government for that to happen. I think that a United States with no government would probably be a superior force in, say, like Haiti. So I think that Amazon, if that is something they're interested in, don't wait until we abolish the government. Go there right now and take them over. Like you.
Well, I guess, we've seen that already, right? With like the United Fruit Company in Guatemala. I guess they didn't, but they had the U.S. government invade for them. But then the East India Company? I mean, they had their own military, and
I mean, it's something like, did you ever play the video game Borderlands?
No, I haven't.
And that, so there's this planet Pandora. I'm getting like really nerdy and like fulfilling the autistic libertarian stereotype.
I'll have to check that out, Borderlands.
Yeah. So like there's this planet and it's all just ruled by evil corporations. So, and they all have like their own private armies and stuff. So it kind of relates to this.
Yeah, but, totally.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that really would just be a logistical thing. I also don't think that they would have the incentive, because if they can dominate through the market through peaceful means, I think that that would be preferable to them. I think that would be preferable to everyone. You have to remember that they would have to hire like military forces who would be willing to do this. which without decades of government propaganda, like I saw that you're reading John Taylor Gatto.
Yeah.
Unless there's like an Amazon school that starts to raise children, then about how awesome Amazon is and how you should fight and die for Amazon and be an obedient worker, then I don't see anyone being willing to do that for Amazon.
Yeah.
And say like Amazon did get together and they're like, we're going to start launching drone strikes on other companies. Then you have a whole bunch of other companies that are like, Amazon, we're not going to stand for this.
Good point. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's absolutely a good point. I'm trying to think like what, you know, how, because I don't know if you know this. Did Rockefeller get kickbacks from the government? Do you know if he did or not?
I'm sure he did. I don't know for sure.
I kept trying to find that because that was my one argument one time with somebody was like, because, you know, you can definitely make the argument Tesla and Amazon are propped up by the government. But before, you know, when Rockefeller and the Harriman family, I was trying to, like, he would do unsavory business practices, like buying up land on the train tracks so they couldn't put a train there and things. But I couldn't find out if he got capitalism. And the whole point I was asking that was like, you know, so before we had serious government kickbacks, was it still possible for someone to create a monopoly that couldn't be stopped? And that was the argument I was trying to make, that it did happen, you know, with his, because he was just dominated and bought everyone else out of business. I don't know where I'm really going.
So with that, so with this natural monopoly thing, so that kind of goes back to the patent thing. So like someone comes out with a great product, other people are going to copy it. People are going to figure out ways to do it better and cheaper. There's also, once a corporation gets very large, it starts to resemble like a bureaucratic government where it's very hard to coordinate. So people talk about the economic calculation problem. That also applies to very large companies because
what's
whenever you have
the economic calculation problem?
Mises, Ludwig von Mises, the Austrian economist, he wrote it about socialism, saying that without a price system, calculation is pretty much impossible in a socialist society. So like you have scarce resources, price system allocates those. So whenever you see things like shortages in toilet paper last year, whenever there's not the government involved fixing the prices, you see prices rise and then that prevents shortages. And then the prices rising, that signals to toilet paper manufacturers like, hey, we need to make more toilet paper. And so without that system in communism, you have shortages. And that's basically the whole point of it. That also applies to large corporations. You have things within the company that can't be calculated. So large bureaucratic corporations are very inefficient whenever they make changes. So there's that advantage that a smaller company has over them with communication between the top level and the bottom level. And then you see, so all of the monopolies that, or hang on, let me make this point. There are local monopolies. Yeah. So, you know, say like there's a gas station and it's the only gas station in town and they can charge $4 per gallon.
Right.
So there's stuff like that. People can start a competing gas station, just undercut them and say, hey, we're going to sell $3.50. People can go to the next store. I'm sure that Amazon, maybe they'll make it so that you can buy gasoline on Amazon. Mm-hmm. So even in things like local monopolies, you have ways of getting around it. But yeah, I think I covered everything there.
So when do you think do you think that maybe in the beginning of our country, it was pretty close to like a perfect, what's your feelings on right around after the revolution, even I guess before the revolution?
So after the revolution, whenever they had the Articles of Confederation, like around that time before the Constitution. So I don't know enough about the Articles of Confederation themselves, like I learned in school, like everyone else did, about how they were awful and terrible, and that's why we needed the Constitution. I don't agree with that view, because I think that if that was true, they wouldn't have gotten rid of the Articles of Confederation. I think that they complain
to live by.
Yeah. They complain about how like, oh, the central government wasn't strong enough. And it's like, well, it sounds like the Articles of Confederation were doing their job then.
Yeah.
Right. That term sounds like it was a pretty small government system. It sounds like it was basically a confederacy, which, long live the South.
I agree. Who do you think, when did this change start to happen? Do you think there was one president that caused it? Or do you have any feelings like when this kind of downturn that started the slippery slope that we're on today, that's just pure?
Yeah. So, people like Ron Paul is very famous for saying we need to get back to the Constitution. And yeah, constitutional government compared to what we have today would be amazing, like very small government compared to now. At the time, though, the Constitution was a big government document. So it was all of these intellectuals coming together and saying, hey, we need a stronger central government. Let's get rid of this Articles of Confederation and kind of consolidate power.
Interesting, right.
So really, that was it. I mean, that's why it was the Federalists who wanted the Constitution against the Anti-Federalists. So the people like Jefferson.
I don't think anyone's ever explained it to me like that. Nice. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I mean, you see other things. I would say World War I is probably like, well, let me back up. The Civil War. So the South trying to secede and Lincoln, the War of Northern Aggression, as some of us call it.
I agree.
So Lincoln basically saying, no, you can't do that. And then starting to censor journalists and stuff. Like I tweeted out that my favorite thing about Abraham Lincoln is his ability to catch a bullet. yeah, so there's that. And then World War I, because that was the thing that made the United States an imperial power, that gave rise to the Bolsheviks, and that, you know, then led to World War II, the Cold War, all this sort of stuff afterwards.
Right. I think, and that's another, like another point that I'll send you the book too. Well, first, you ever read Don Jeffries? Do you know who Don Jeffries is? He's on Twitter. Not. He wrote a book though about Lincoln. That was the first I learned how he was such a tyrant. But what I was saying was that book about how the Freemasons behind the Revolution, it was just basically like, and according to this guy, it was a strategic war trying to knock out like the nationalism and the monarchies that were, you know, because it was, you had the Kaiser in Germany and all those. And that was really what the war was about, was that.
Yeah. Well, Wilson explicitly said that, like, we were trying to make the world a safer place for democracy. And Hans Hermann Hoppe, he actually talks about that in his book, Democracy, the God That Failed. The same one where he says that, where he makes the case of monarchy is preferable to democracy. He mentions that, World War I was a war to spread democracy all over and to end monarchy. And that's why it's a big inflection point.
Interesting. I got to check this guy out, dude. Hans Hermann.
Yeah. No, listen, a lot of the right wing people, they really like the nationalist right wing people, like the Nick Fuentes types, they have a lot of respect for Hoppe. And a lot of people, they are libertarians and then they start to read Hoppe. And then from Hoppe, they then go to more of the right wing stuff. Not always, but sometimes.
Yeah, I think that was like my trajectory, even though I didn't read him yet. That's like where I, we're in a shit situation now, obviously. Where do we, and I heard you said earlier about how agorism wouldn't be able to stop the state. And I'm sure you're right. But what do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think if we, or what's your, what could we people even do? You know?
Yeah. So listen, so agorism, I don't think that it's a solution. I think that it's still great though. You know, I do illegal stuff all the time. If we're being honest, I'm not going to say what. If you want to do that, go for it.
Yeah.
I think the number one thing that people can do is if you live in a blue state, move to a red state. I think that is the simplest thing. If you're in commie California, move somewhere else. That's one thing. I do really agree with, you have these people like Matt Erickson. I don't know if you know, I'm talking about how personal wealth building and stuff like that. And hey, just focus on yourself, focus on becoming wealthy and your best self so that you don't have to rely on other people. I completely agree with that as well. New Hampshire, I don't know if you're familiar with the Free State Project. So Jeremy Kaufman is a big proponent of this. He's my boss for Odyssey.
No, was he just on Ethan Ralph?
I don't know if he was on Ethan Ralph. I don't pay attention to Ethan Ralph, but he was on Tim Pool's show.
Okay. All right.
But
The one CEO of Odyssey was on Ethan. He's had like a 24-hour stream. And the guy stopped in, but I can't remember if it was him or not. Sorry to interrupt you.
But so he is part of this Free State Project, which is all libertarians moving to New Hampshire and basically trying to take the state over. And you see it now already. The Republicans in that state are super libertarian. They get a lot of stuff. They have the most guns per capita.
Wow.
So that's a strategy that I really agree with, because there's not enough libertarians in the country to make a difference in the country at large. But if you all concentrate in this state, New Hampshire, that only has 1 million people, there's more than enough libertarians to make that a libertarian state. So that, in terms of practicality, I think is the best strategy.
That's an awesome idea, dude. You're right. Isn't the Pork Fest or whatever in New Hampshire usually?
And that is a, so that's sponsored by the Free State Project. And that I think their underlying goal is to have people just fly out to New Hampshire and see like how awesome it is and never leave. Stay. Yeah.
Where do, and another, I just like thinking of how about, so immigration, I think that's like, I had to stop following the libertarian Twitter party. I don't know what, like the big one. Cause they're the one that supported Joe Jorgensen. Cause I couldn't, it was like driving me nuts. And so what's your, in an anarcho-capitalist world, how do you handle immigration?
So in an anarcho-capitalist world, it's pretty simple. It's private property borders. So say like, you know, you have your house, you can tell whoever you want to, no, you can't come in here. Mm-hmm. Say you have an entire community, like, you know, you and all of your neighbors, you have this like gated community or whatever, you can say, no, you're not allowed in here. And likewise, if you are someone who would welcome immigrants, which I'm not sure if there is anyone who would welcome immigrants, then you can say, yeah, come on into my house or come on into our neighborhood.
But is there still border, like, would there still be borders in that scenario? Like, say it's the same lines drawn up as we have today with Mexico and the U.S. Like, say, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah. So no. So your border would be, you know, your property line. So like, this is the land that I own. People who I want on here can come here. People who I don't want, same thing, can't.
Okay.
And that would be true for everyone who owns property. And, you know, it wouldn't just be like homeowners. It would be like apartment complexes. Like, hey, this is our land. We don't want to lease to immigrants, or we do want to lease to immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Say you have a town where you have all of these businesses, maybe they're arranged, like they all have agreements with one another and they say, yeah, we will allow immigrants or we won't. So it really just does come down to private property rights. So I think that an anarcho-capitalist society in that sense would have stricter borders than now, because now you have like this forced integration type thing. Where now people have to serve immigrants, which I think is completely wrong.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's a not like thing I struggle. Like I couldn't, but I like that idea of communities, but you're saying, so there wouldn't even be in the, I know we're talking hypotheticals, but like it wouldn't be in Mexico and the United States. It'd be communities that of people who own land and they, right. Or no.
I think that, like the governments of the United States and Mexico wouldn't exist. Like there wouldn't be a hard line drawn, like this is a separation, but I still think that, you know, cultures would persist and like the United States would still stay, like Texas would still be Texas and Mexico would still be Mexico. Okay. It's like how there's open borders between states now, but you still look like California has a very different culture than say Arizona, even within California. So like Los Angeles has a very different culture than like other parts of California. Here in Missouri, St. Louis has a completely different culture than where I live in Missouri. So you would still have like regional differences and things like that. Like sports teams are another example. So you have kind of this team's territory here, and then it kind of crosses, and then you have this team's territory over here, but there's no hard line, but you still like, as you drive through states, you start to see hats change.
Yeah.
I actually did a video about this. Like, I love the United States. There is no place that I would rather live. I love patriotism. People who burn flags and stuff, I think, are insanely stupid. So just because I don't like the American government doesn't mean that I don't like the concept of America or I don't care about America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's an important distinction for sure. It's just hard. Like, it's such a... Because we're clearly, whatever we're doing right now is just complete shit. Like, it is... And I think it's probably by plan or by design, but I feel like everybody, especially this past year, has now been looking out for what else is out there, because we see this, the total utter chaos that we are in right now. And it is like, I think you said it's a house of cards, like the debt that we're in, like, I don't see how we get out of this. Something has to give. I just don't know what that is or what's going to happen, but.
Yeah. So I think that's where it kind of comes into where you want to make sure that you're living in the right place. So if you're in California, whenever the collapse comes, you don't want to be in California. and that's where I think it would be that's where I think it would be good to come into New Hampshire. Like, hey, the collapse comes, there's no more government. Oh, I live in the most libertarian place in the country. I think I'll be fine. I think.
You see what do you think happens to the United States? Do you see it breaking into like a balkanizing, or do you think it... Because I know that like Zero Hedge, I'm sure you follow, they talked about the imminent collapse for so long. Now I almost feel like it's boy who cried wolf. But what do you think happens to the United States? Because I just can't see how, I can't see it sustaining itself. Like it eventually, right? I mean, it's gotta, It's there's no way it doesn't. But what do you see think happens in the United States?
What I think happens, I don't really know. Yeah, eventually they're going to have to default on the debt, and it's going to be bad. My hope is that there's secession, so you see a split. People were talking earlier about, like, let's give California to Canada and stuff like that. I am all in favor of secession. I hope that the United States splits up into 2 or 3 or 4 or 50, like, however much it wants to. So that would be my hope. I think if the government just straight up collapsed, I don't think it would be chaos, but I do think you would see the different sides, like, scramble to form their own government, like, each their own side. People talk about that, like, collapsitarianism. I don't think it would be a good thing if the government collapsed. I don't think it would be, like, the worst thing ever.
What's that, collapsitarianism? What's that mean?
It's basically, like, people who want the government to collapse.
A collapse
would be, like, a good
thing. All right.
I don't really agree with that, but I don't think it would be, like, the worst thing in the world. I think that you would see people rearrange and form governments just into smaller units. Like, I don't think if the government collapsed, you're going to be able to form a new federal government over the entire United States. I just don't think that's going to happen. Maybe move to Alaska, because, like, if you're in Alaska, I don't know what they're going to do back at the mainland. Move to Hawaii or something. Like,
right, dude. You ever watch those Alaska shows? Those people are amazing. They're like, they're true libertarians, dude. They live off the land. They want to build a house. There's no regulation. You just build a house. You know, it's up to you to not have it collapse on you.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about, like, the really nerdy stuff is seasteading, and you have, like, these ANCAPs who want to go out to the ocean and, like, build, like, Bioshock cities.
Damn, dude. Now that's an idea.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the logistics of that, but, you know, people have the idea. I don't know. Maybe we just have to wait until we go to Mars.
Yes. Or if you get enough plastic in the ocean, you might be able to build, like, an island and then put dirt on it.
We need more pollution. We need to throw as much plastic in as we can.
I'm going to start doing my part now. Absolutely.
There we go.
Yeah. I'm trying to think other. So in, like, and drugs are legal. I think the drug war has obviously been, and I was a heroin addict. So I used to really, I think that's what pushed me into libertarianism, was because I was like, people drink alcohol. I just decided to shoot dope. What's the difference? But you know, like, I do, the drug war is idiotic, but I guess have you ever been to, or you've seen, like, the videos of LA or Kensington is in Philadelphia? I mean, it's zombie lands. Do you think those kind of issues would be alleviated with? No, yes. You do? So you think that they would?
So degeneracy, this is another thing that Hoppe talks about.
I'm gonna love this guy, dude.
I'm not even a Hoppe, by the way. It just relates to all of this. So he defines degeneracy as lifestyles that are unsustainable without the government.
Okay.
So you look at things like drug addiction. You look at things like, oh, I'm a single mom with 18 kids. Stuff like this that I think is only sustainable because the government exists. These people can live off of the state. So there actually is an argument to be made there that, hey, a society without the government supporting these people would actually be more socially conservative, because these people, they have no choice but to get their shit together and actually do something. And as far as, like, the heroin stuff, there's a lot of libertarians that are annoying about this. I don't think that it should be illegal, but I'm not just going to be like, oh, well, it's your choice to do heroin if you want to do heroin. Like, no, I'm going to say that's stupid and that you shouldn't do heroin.
Right.
So good on you for getting clean.
Oh, thank you, dude. Yeah. But that's, dude, I'm going to love this guy, because you're right. I never thought about that. Like, you're right. All these behaviors would not be sustainable if our taxes didn't, you know, pay for it. And that's another thing. I also, like, I hated taxes, and I still don't agree with taxes, but, like, if they went to something that actually helped the people, whether it was, like, to build railways or whatever, it actually helped people, I wouldn't mind paying all that we pay in taxes. And that's why, like, I think I also fell away kind of from liberty, because, like, I don't believe that a person at, you know, a fast food job working 40 hours shouldn't be able to, live such a poor life. And I don't mind giving money that would support them so they could. And that's, like, where I guess I also struggled with libertarian with no taxes, because there are people that are just not, they're not that they're not hardworking, but they're just like, I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, the fact that you feel that way is evidence of why you don't need the government to force you to do it. Yeah. And I think that's, if you live in, like, a private community and stuff, and They say, hey, to live here, you got to pay, you know, 10% of your income every year. Then yeah, you can either do that or not live there. Like, I have no problem with that. And whenever you live in like a more private community that is choice, then you can keep track of like, hey, where is this going? Or else, yeah, you know what, I'm going to stop paying you. Whereas with the government, you don't really have a choice in that. And yeah, your money goes to wars overseas and drug addicts and all sorts of bad stuff.
And just to like give credence to your point, the Gatto's, John Taylor Gatto's book was talking about in Massachusetts, they had like the Anglican, like people from, I forget where, somewhere in England, and they lived like very individualistic. Like they, you know, it was for yourself, you created for yourself. And then the neighboring community was from Ireland or somewhere else. And they were more like community farming and they hated each other. But gradually after like 100 years, they took the best of both worlds and they were able to overcome these different, they picked the best of both worlds. And so he just said that to juxtaposition, like how today they force these groups together that have not, or couldn't be farther apart, could never. And that's like where our issues stem from, is forcing these people that hate each other, that have no similar views, into living in the same rules and same world.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why that's the whole culture war, because you have like these weird left-wing like losers with like blue hair who think that misgendering someone is, you know, violence or whatever.
Right.
And then you have, you know, your normal people who, you know, they just want a wife and they want to have two kids and live in a house with a picket fence.
Right.
There's no way for these two groups of people to see eye to eye. And with the government, with the ability to pass laws against the other people, they both sides really don't have a choice except to try to fight for the power of the government, because if they don't, the other group is going to, and then they're going to be subjugated. So that's why I advocate secession. Like, hey, you guys go do your blue hair college microaggression stuff over there. Everyone else does this over here.
Yeah, no, that definitely sounds better than, and that's, you were never, I don't think we've ever been so, maybe we've been divided at the Civil War, but it is like insane. I don't see how you overcome this or come back from, to just agree on something, because there isn't, it's like the middle ground is gone. There's no, it's like loony world and semblance what you expected your, you know, I don't know how old you are, but like 30s to be when you were an adult. So, you know, it doesn't look anything like I thought when I was 10 years old.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm only 21. So like,
oh, damn, you're way younger, dude. Nice.
Yeah. So, whenever I was a kid, it was like conservatives were doing all this like 9/11 war propaganda stuff, and they were censoring like the radio. Like, I'm a big fan of Opie and Anthony and stuff. And,
okay.
But then for the most part, you know, the past 10 years or whatever it's been, the left, really since Obama, the left has been just awful and horrible. So like my entire experience has been the left, the right is, you know, they're better. That must better.
Be hard for like, cause you, so you're 21, like it seems like the younger generation, I mean, I guess the spectrum always keeps moving to the left, but that, like, do you, like your friends, they feel the same way as you do, or? When did you gather your beliefs, I guess? When did you start believing like in a more pro-liberty ideals?
Whenever I was 13. So my dad was a big Ron Paul supporter. And
awesome.
I that would have been in 2011. So I still would have been 11. I was born in 2000. And then a couple years later, I was like, man, I'm getting pretty old. I'm 13. So I better learn about politics. And I just started looking up like Ron Paul speeches. And then it all kind of cavalcaded from there. And my dad gave me his copy of Liberty Defined, which is Ron Paul's book.
Okay.
But my best friend is actually like a hardcore right wing guy. And like, he doesn't like certain groups of people who are known to rule lots of things in the world and stuff, which is not something that I'm into, but still, like, you know, I think that you do see something. So like the boomers, they were all left wing, like anti-war, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then Gen X is more right wing. And then the millennials, of course, are more left wing. And then I think my generation is going to be more right wing. I think it's kind of interesting, cyclical in that way.
Yeah. I'm like a millennial, but that's that guy that I said, Joshua from Our Foundations, he has this, I think he had this one, but this theory was that, like you said, it's like the next generation. I think he goes like merchants. I don't know, there's like six of them, but it does that where it's like you know, you have a one class and that creates this. So they do it kind of like that whole, that stupid saying that boomers love to post, hard times make easy men or easy men make hard times. And do you know, you ever see that meme? It's like,
I mean, I think there is something to that because you look at all the wealth after World War II, they came out of the Great Depression and all of that stuff. And then, yeah, you have the boomer generation. They grew up and they get all these handouts and stuff handed to them. And yeah, sure enough, they're lefty degenerates. and then you have a bunch of Gen Xers being raised by, you know, terrible boomer parents. And then they grew up to be more right wing.
Yeah.
And then because they're right wing and they're like actually good at raising families and stuff like that, then their kids, again, are kind of spoiled. And you have the millennials being all left wing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah,
that's interesting. So like we're, you know, I don't have a child yet, but we will soon. I was thinking like, so it's interesting that your dad was a libertarian and you didn't rebel against that, that mindset. You kind of, you joined it.
Well, so I did, like, I don't agree with my dad on everything. Like he's still a constitutionalist and I take it farther than that. But like, yeah, I guess I'm different in that way. I don't know. My dad is like the smartest person I know. So yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. No, that's like, that's reassuring because it's so easy to get brainwashed. Like with, if you just pay attention a little bit, like my fiance, she doesn't really watch, you know, but I've got the brainwashing out, but it is like when I barely pay attention, you think, oh, that seems right. Like, yeah, you should allow people with mental illness in the military or I'm using that, you understand, but and so I fought for that. And then I was like, you know, you watch more, you're like, wait, why am I feeling this way? I don't agree with that, but it's so powerful that they can move generations and move all these groups. I don't know where I was going with that, but.
Yeah, no, but I mean, listen, yeah, you have everyone. It's like, this is so weird. All of the news networks, all of Hollywood, all of academia are all telling me the same narrative that, you know, white people are the worst people ever. And like all of this sort of stuff. That we need socialism and big government. And it's like, maybe there's more to it than I think. And then you realize that, yeah, it's all of these people coming together to try to influence popular culture and turn it towards this big government, New World Order type thing.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. And that's so again, like I like see it as that spectrum of like capitalism, but like socialism, people don't understand like this, they've literally, the elites of Wall Street has funded all these things to create socialistic governments because they wanted to be the sole provider of natural resources and control them. And it's just wild how like Amazon posts Pride Month and you think that they're, you know, you're taking the same side as Amazon on anything. You're on the wrong side, dude. You are on the wrong, you're everything that you say you're fighting against.
Yeah. And whenever they do stuff like that, like I think obviously Amazon, they don't care about gay rights or whatever, or Black Lives Matter. They're just saying whatever they need to get the people that they want to do the things that they want. So yeah, they'll say whatever they need to get in power. That's why, you know, McDonald's in Saudi Arabia isn't going to put up LGBT stuff.
that's a good point.
So yeah. So I mean, it's not even like people talk about like this anti-white agenda, and I kind of mentioned that. I don't think it's even that. I think it's just they say whatever they need to get what they want done, and kind of this push for progressivism has kind of gone in that direction of like anti your nuclear family, pro LGBT, pro woman, all of this sort of stuff.
So you think it's not that, it's not as nefarious, it's more like
I think it is nefarious. I think that their goal is more power, and they are just willing to do, they're willing to say whatever they need to get that.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't think they really have anything they're after except power. So whenever they say like, hey, pro Black Lives Matter, it's just that they're saying that because they need to.
That's interesting. Yeah. I don't know where some, that's like, I came into conspiracy, like, not that I'm not a conspiracy theorist now, but you can see, it's just like, it's not, maybe it isn't this as controlled as well as like a lot of people, you know, by reptiles and things like that. It could just be like, people are just so greedy and morally bankrupt that they just want to accumulate as much power as humanly possible and inflict it on lesser powerful people. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, I've said this before, if everything was run by lizard people, would things be any different? Like,
yeah, that's a good point, dude. You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's terrifying. And I don't know that like you're right. I love that idea because people, I hate to be super black pilled, but I love what you said about how moving into a because I always say, like, you got to find a community and people that you're friends with and share, and don't start a militia. Do not do that. But, you know, you have to find like-minded people that, that's really awesome. I didn't know they were doing that in like New Hampshire to try and get more and more people there. That's like,
yeah, it's great. Yeah. This dude, Jason Sorens, wrote an essay like almost 20 years ago. I think it was in like 2004, talking about like, hey, everything that libertarians have tried to do to make this happen, it isn't working. Like, it's all been complete failures. And he basically lays out the argument for this Free State Project. And then they had a big debate on what state to do. New Hampshire won. And I think not too long ago, sometime this past decade, they actually started to do it. And all of these libertarians started to move to New Hampshire. And part of it, why they did that, their state motto is live free or die. So like, it already was like kind of a libertarian state to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you have all of these libertarians and they're doing a lot. Like, I don't know the ins and outs. I don't live in New Hampshire. If I was going to move, I would move to New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And they make a very compelling argument.
So
it's awesome. Ahead.
My last question, what is the difference between, so Dave Smith, you know, the Mises caucus, what is the difference between the libertarian group versus the Mises caucus? Is that how you say it? Yeah.
So the Mises caucus, they believe that the Libertarian Party should be principled and that it should focus on Austrian issues. So Austrian economic issues. So things like the Federal Reserve, things like the war, stuff like that. Whereas the Libertarian Party, they agree with those things, but for whatever reason, they want to focus more on like open borders and, you know, gay rights and stuff like this. The Mises Caucus just says like, hey, let's be principled. Let's focus on the biggest issues of our day. Let's focus on things like lockdowns now that that's come about and COVID measures. And then the Libertarian Party, they also aren't principled at all. So you have people like Gary Johnson who don't know anything, being the presidential nominee. You have people like Joe Jorgensen saying we must be actively anti-racist.
Yes, which, that was what made me unfollow. Yeah. That was it, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which was completely terrible. Not that like, yeah, I'm against racism. Like, I don't think that you should be racist, but we must be actively anti-racist. So you're saying me who, you know, I'm just sitting in my room, I don't hate any minorities. That's not enough. I need to actively go out and say like, no, racism is bad. It's stupid. And yeah. I would also ask her, hey, what are your thoughts on anti-discrimination laws? Because the libertarian answer is no anti-discrimination laws.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the main difference. Mises Caucus, they're principal libertarians. LP okay. National, they're not.
Okay. No, it's good because I always see them hit, like there's that, and dude, I said libertarian Twitter because it was so bad. Their takes were such garbage. I like couldn't even, oh my God, it was brutal. But so where can everyone find you and all those things like that?
Yeah, so on Twitter, I'm just Drew Hancock, which is at Lockout Days, LOCKOUTDAYS. YouTube, same thing. My name is Drew Hancock, but the URL is Lockout Days. And then you can find me on Odyssey as well, odyse.com. Nice. And use that website just for everything. Abandon YouTube entirely. After this show moves to Odyssey, stop watching it here. Yes. Just watch the Odyssey versions.
Dude, awesome.
But yeah, that's all I got.
Well, dude, thanks so much for being on the show. Here, I'll turn off the let me see if I can do this stop live stream. All right, let me hit on record.